Blog Talk Radio.
I can't believe anybody's having this conversation. You can talk to the attorneys. This really did happen. Has nothing to do with hate.
Hello.
Hello?
Randall.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Kenter. What did you guys find out about Greenswood?
We haven't done anything. When I was trying to go through those New York websites yesterday,
yeah,
I got a virus from the state website.
Oh, wow.
But supposedly Christine called up there and the Supreme Court clerk, when Christine said, you know, what's going on with my case, basically ended up going, well, let me look into this. I'll get back with you. And got off the phone real quick. Okay. According to the judge's office, the grandmother has filed a petition for custody. But according to his office, there is no judgment in that petition.
I still think, from a legal standpoint, I still think the mother has grounds to go up to the San Antonio Police Department, since the children were illegally removed and she never went down to find out where the removal order was that granted them the right to take the kids from her care, regardless.
They don't play that game down here. There is no removal order. I have a paper that says I have custody. I walk over to the police department and say, take my kids.
Okay, but now here's my question:
to operate down here.
Okay, but as a parent, you wouldn't think that you'd have to have an order or a piece of paper saying that I have custody of my kids. It ought to be an automatic. It's an axiomatic position. You're the parent, you know? And then to have somebody else show up at the door and say, well, you know, hey, I've got custody of this child, and it's like, what the hell, you know?
Well, like I said, I know the way they operate. They should have. I agree with you. They should have done things a lot differently than they did them. they're saying that they had communication with somebody in New York. Now, who that somebody was, they're not releasing. You know, was that somebody, an actual clerk in the court up there? Did she actually file with the police department up there that the kids were missing, and that, you know, even though you got it on the not on the exploited children's website, but is it in the computer that there's an actual missing person case up there? Because yesterday when I called, at one time they actually transferred me to missing persons. that there is a missing person case on these two kids. Basically, like I said, my computer was down today. I'm trying to get this stupid, you know, that the security software malware that comes up, you know, your computer's in danger. Well, I got that off of New York's website.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get that off. This is the second time I've done a full scan on my computer. But anyway, with her phone calls, it's really looking like this is starting to be a kidnapping case.
Yeah. But who did the kidnapping? Your grandma?
Yeah.
So that's what I was reading it. You know?
Yeah. What did your guy find out up there?
He said he had found nothing there in a Beasley case there where the last thing that he had was what was done back in...
What about the Klein, the Klein Cleef name?
In where?
Judy Cleef, K-E-I-F.
I don't know anything about it, Judy Cleef.
That's the grandmother.
Okay. So,
there is supposedly there is a petition filed by the grandmother, according to the court. But nothing has been done on that petition.
Okay.
That's what Christine said. She called the court today, his office. And his office says there is a petition filed. Nothing's been done on it.
Okay.
So I told her tomorrow morning to call back up there and ask for the docket sheet on that case. And if possible, if they'll, you know, because apparently she's having a good rapport with those people up there. If possible, to get it sent by email and have a little note attached saying there's a petition filed, but there is no order, there is no temporary order. Just so she has something, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if that comes back like that, yeah, we're going to, you know, then you know, she needs to go down there and tell police, you know, San Antonio Police Department, hey, look, you fucked up.
Okay. All right. Well, I had my son on the other line, and I told him that I had to call you, and I said, hey, give him a call and see if he can get a three-way going on, because I couldn't get the three-way going through. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, right now we're Tristan, I guess, was in the hospital all day.
Yeah.
She didn't get anything done either. And like I said, I'm still working on trying to get my computer.
Yeah.
So, but that looks like what's going on right now.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have all our answers tomorrow.
All right.
But, yeah, like I said, the Supreme Court clerk up there, I don't know how many courts they got up there, but the Supreme Court clerk basically said the same thing and then all of a sudden just kind of went cold. And I got to look into this, and I'll call you back later.
Okay.
So apparently there is some fishy paperwork.
Okay.
I'm wondering if she actually did it. She filed the petition.
And then just drafted her own order and went down there and got it.
Well, I don't know if she would draft. What I'm wondering is if she went through a writ, because a writ doesn't have to go through the same judge.
Yeah.
When I got my writ, the judge didn't. I mean, he signed it like it was yesterday's paper, like yesterday's toilet paper. I mean, he didn't investigate nothing. It didn't take me 3 seconds to get him to sign it. So if she went to another judge, and I wonder if she's got a writ of some kind.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that's what it looks like right now. So I guess we'll give you a call tomorrow and catch up. You need that mother, the grandmother's name. You got it. The one that he said.
Tristan was supposed to be here today. Tristan was supposed to be here today, and she didn't make
it. She's been in the hospital.
Yeah, that's what she said. So, you know.
That Keith and Robert, or Keith and Keith and Judy's name.
Okay.
That Tristan gave you yesterday. That's the grandmother.
Yeah. Okay.
If you can get your guy up in New York to real, you do a quick search on those. That one. That's where the petition's filed on.
All right. Well, that's what we'll do then. Run out and see. So. All right. So, tomorrow when she gets here, we'll do some more digging. Keep saying.
All right. Hey, where are you guys up in Ohio anyway?
I'm in Springfield, Ohio, right by Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. We'll contact you tomorrow.
All right. I'll talk to you then, okay?
All right, buddy.
All right. Yeah, bye. Zach, you still there? Zach?
Hello?
Hello. Hello. So it looks like we have a kidnapping.
It does.
As far as everything's showing so far.
There's no paperwork saying that she had legit the right to take those kids out of there.
Well, that's just it. The way the Supreme Court clerk acted, I'm assuming there is some kind of paperwork.
Right. Okay.
What kind of paperwork? You know, because Christine said that the clerk just, like, ended the conversation. Like, you know, immediately.
Like, didn't want to say anything.
Talk. Yeah. Let me look into this.
Right. See what she can say and what she can't say, because she doesn't know what she can say.
Yeah, that apparently this is there, this is there, and then all of a sudden this is there.
Right. Either way, I don't think they did it legally, I don't think they did it by the book.
No, they didn't. We know that, but there's some things in here where Christine put herself in that position too.
Right, right.
You know, because the protection order is still in effect.
And the protection order is for her with the kids?
Again, no, him.
Oh, okay, the father.
Right.
Okay, so maybe that's why the grandmother's having such a cow.
Well, yeah, but that's the only way we can figure out they have done what they've done.
Right,
if
right.
If it is
that's
legit,
only,
if it's all like the grandmother went in there and said he's back with the kid and the mom.
He's not supposed
and
to be.
Larry
oh,
moved
God.
To Texas so they don't have to honor this order, which would have pissed the judge off, and the judge would have said, okay.
Right. Okay, that would make sense. That's at least somewhat of a way to make sense out of what the chaos is going on.
You know, but there's still something that's not on the up and up. We just got to figure out where it's not on the up and up.
When did Christina tell you that there was a protective order?
Oh, she always has.
Okay, good.
If you ever if you ever file a protection order, once you hit that stage, the district attorneys are very, very adamant about you going through. They will even threaten you
Right, right. If you're going to be this serious about the matter, you need to
You know, if you want to drop it, hey, we're getting back together, whatever. They're not. They become very ununderstanding.
Right, because they've taken everybody's time, and if it was that
no,
bad to begin with,
just,
why would you?
They just want the protection orders. It has
right.
nothing to do with any logic. You know, of course, that's what they'll throw at you. They are very adamant. I mean, when she pulled one against me, I had 11 witnesses going to be testified, and the judge wouldn't even let my witnesses talk. He says, hell
oh,
no,
and
I'm
that's
giving
just
you 15
where they are.
Minutes. I'm giving you 15 minutes for this whole case.
Wow. That's something. That's the way
that's
they are, though.
Both sides.
Wow.
You know, so. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why doesn't mom have a car?
Mom and dad are, they're, my dad's disabled. He does painting on the side sometimes. But whenever I went and got them from Abilene because they were living with his sister. And whenever they were living with the sister, they were paying practically all the rent and everything. And it was supposed to be half and half where they could get caught up. So my dad's disabled. And they had a flood. See, they had a van. The van broke down. They had a van about nine months ago. And they were in that flood. It happened in the summertime in Pipe Creek, and it flooded their house completely, and they had to leave. Red Cross didn't help them. No one helped them. The sister came and got him, and I was living in Divine at the time. So they moved to Abilene with the sister and were never able to get their bill, you know, never get able to get caught up. So they're just trying to get caught up right now. We're helping each other get caught up. What we're trying to do, you know, halving the rent and stuff like that.
Well,
not a lot of
that's
money.
What I huh?
We don't have a lot of money.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't either. Okay, I mean, I'm living in a trailer
right.
at the shop. You know,
right.
but I the more I hear about your story.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wait a minute, you have four people, adults, living in this house.
Right.
She's pregnant 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went through a CPS case, and this and that, and it's like, okay, you know, you told me you don't like to tell your story until you're ready. So I've been kind of sitting back going, okay, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. She'll spill it when she's ready to spill it. But okay, the more you talk, the more I go, wait a minute, what the fuck is she into?
No, it's just been some bad luck and stuff, and that's the really gist of it. And they're on disability. My mom's got pancreatitis, and you know she's doing okay, but you know she has her good days and bad days, and so she helps me and I help her whenever, you know. And my dad, he does his little side painting stuff like that, you know, when he can, but he does have his back's been broken 3 different places. That's why I was telling you whenever you're telling me about that fusion thing. That it's not a thing usually. They try to use his back several times.
This has been the longest that they have ever taken to respond to me.
Really?
Yeah, usually I'll get an answer within a week or so. You know.
Yeah.
My case went in on the well, I guess it's only been a week, huh? Because they actually didn't. They didn't actually take the first one, so it's only been since the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like I said, usually I get
real quick responses. This one's taking the longest.
Right,
driving
right.
me nuts because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of this.
Right. Well, it definitely puts a hitch
yeah.
if you get along.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on with that couple from San Antonio too, Moa.
Yes. Yes, I've been reading their thing, and I just read that one thing about, I guess she's the stepmom in the situation, right?
That's what I understand, you know, but again, it's like kind of like yours. How did he get involved in it? You know, and
right.
they got an attorney.
Right.
So if they got an attorney, I mean, you know how easy it is to get out from under CPS if you didn't do anything. And then I noticed they've got to take a drug study. So I'm assuming that they've actually, mom wasn't only the druggie, but my dad's an occasional user or something like that.
Right, or
because
they
I
think,
don't
or
know,
they're just
I don't
taking...
understand how they got an attorney and it's not over with.
Right, right. Unless they're just really playing dirty with them. I mean, like they were trying to do Jason with thinking the mother was an addict and, you know, not having any open case on him or any complaints on him, automatically ordering that kind of stuff whenever he was, you know, he had a case when he was 18.
Which is fine.
Right.
But they have an attorney.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. But we don't know when they got the attorney either, so I don't know. I don't know enough about what's going on to know, you know.
Well, like I said, I'm thinking that, you know, there's some reason that basically the same thing I thought about you. You know, I'm sorry you don't date a girl that's a drug addict, and you at least not be at least an occasional user. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a drug addict, and you know, our company for years here has been nothing but druggies. And the fact that I didn't use, I was kind of the outcast. You know, you don't
right.
hang around and not, you know.
Exactly.
And you know, you can hide it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
So,
right.
You know, then you come to me with this story about you're dating a guy that just went to jail for drugs. And it's like, wait a minute. Something's so, okay, you're pushing me to the limit here, okay? Sooner or later, you're going to have to break out with this story, girl.
Well, I told you whatever with the process. My ex is the one that's in jail for drugs. But whatever I said, that's his ex that's actually the one that was in the house, but they can't prove it.
Okay. Well, and again, you don't have an ex that's a druggie without you at some time being involved in drugs. End of story. You're not going to make me believe anything else.
Right, and I did tell you whenever I was telling you about the kids that whenever after they took my kids and everything, and after my son came out with that he was molested for sure and everything, I did have a bout with drugs for a short time,
that.
And then pulled myself out, and I did say that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I was just, you know.
No, I want to tell the complete truth, because the more I think about it, and the more, you know, I hear everything that's going on and everything, I'm getting stronger, and I want to come out with it because I don't think that anybody should be crucified for someone. My ex is what began my story, making an allegation against me that wasn't true, had nothing to do with drugs. And it was just an allegation because I broke up with him. He was abusive. And I stayed around. I mean, the last 4 years of our relationship, he was abusive. And I tried to stay in it up until the point where I said, no, I can't do this anymore. He put a gun to my head in front of my oldest son, Sully. And I, within 2 days, I was slowly getting my stuff out of the house. I slowly worked my way out of the house and moved in with a friend of mine in Pearsall. My mom and dad came and got me and the kids. And we tried to work out sharing the kids at first, thinking maybe it was just me that he hated so much because I wanted the kids to have their father just before I knew anything about anything about what he did. I didn't know that he had already molested my son the first time. Whenever I was in the hospital, and it happened about, I think, probably about 3 months prior to me leaving him, he molested my oldest son while I was at the hospital with my middle son for 3 days. And that's what my son's come out and said, my oldest. And I wasn't there. I didn't know. And he said, because he got in trouble for lighting his bed on fire at one point in time, and he said it was right after his dad molesting the first time. That's when I was in the hospital with his brother for 3 days. So, and that's when I left him, and that's when about a month and a half is when he made the allegations. Whenever I quit letting him see the kids because my oldest son was acting funny. And I couldn't put my finger on it, and he would act funny every time he came back from his dad. And he was staying with his sister and family members at the time and staying next door to where my mom was living as well. And so I didn't really worry about him having the kids part of the time at first, you know, because there was with family. But that's when it happened the second time. So whenever I didn't know it because he hadn't told me, and within 2 days, I would have found out within 2 days, this is when CPS came down on me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever his sister and his mom and him called in saying I threw my son across the room in a house that they had never even been in around me. And that's what started the landslide for my case. It was an allegation by my ex. Because I wouldn't let him see the kids anymore unless I was there. Because I knew something was going on, but I didn't know what. And I was naive to, you know, to molestation at the time. How guys can be. But I'd been with him off and on for 13 years. Mainly been with him. I think we broke up twice for about 2 weeks apiece within 13 years. And he was quite a bit older than I am.
Okay.
He's 11 years older than me.
I don't care. That bullshit is. That's another thing. You know, that's like this lady that's arguing with you about being pissed off, telling you that the whole story is not that one. The cake company got sued for not making a cake, but the trucking company didn't get sued for making them drive their fucking trucks. That's
right,
not
she
the
was.
Whole story.
I saw that.
That is the whole fucking story, you dumb bitch.
That's like they're in their little cave. They don't want to know the truth, and they don't care to know the truth because they think what they're going to think, no matter if it's true or not. And some people are like that. They're so narrow-minded, you know. But it's those type of narrow-minded people that are make it hard for people to come out and tell their story whenever it was such a thing as allegations being, you know, brought up against me that got my kids slowly but surely taken away. Thank God that his dad and his stepmom in Florida came up to the plate and took them, because he didn't even tell them about them. And it was at the last, when they were doing the mediation kind of thing, you can't hardly talk. That had already switched lawyers, three different CPS lawyers, fired two of them, and was on the last one. And this grasping at straws to keep my kids at that point in time. And they're saying, no, we're terminating. We're not going to let you have your kids. And with the CASA worker, my church behind me, and losing, and it was just,
you had CASA involved, and the CASA worker,
yes,
was behind you?
Yes, Francine Gash was behind me.
Oh,
she was also my mentor whenever I started going to the my church. She is my mentor too.
Then you should have told them to fuck yourselves. Let's go talk to the judge.
Well, whenever she tried to stand up for me, they threatened her job. They threatened, because it's all on volunteer work, CASA's work. But it meant a lot to her, what she was doing. And they told her, they demoted her and told her if she tried to stand up for me anymore, that they would no longer take her volunteer work, and she would no longer be helping these kids. And she had a lot of kids that she was, you know, overseeing with CPS. But she still stood up to me.
That woman needs to come online.
Yeah. I mean, she was a really good woman, too. And I had another lady from my church taking me to all my classes, because at times we had a car, but it wasn't a good running car. It was a Ranchero at the time. And I was going to church, and this Richie, by the name of Richie, was helping me. She was the Methodist, the nurse.
Yeah.
The Methodist always. Yeah, and she was helping me, and she even wanted to go up there, and they wouldn't let anybody talk on my behalf. My mom was up there, my church was up there. They wouldn't let me talk. I tried to talk on my own behalf, and the judge just allowed them to crucify me. At one
time, you said mediation. You never said judge.
Yeah, the judge wouldn't let me talk either.
Okay,
the judge doesn't get involved
until they're actually in the termination hearing.
It was legal. It was already legal. It was in the legal proceeding of it. It was not in family court. I mean, family based. It was in legal based at that point in time. This is over a period of 3 years.
I'm ready to.
And this is whenever, this is right after my daughter got molested, and right after the caseworker had let my ex take my daughter to his grandmother's house, and she was molested at his grandmother's house. And she remembers this. Patty on track with the caseworker's name, that he was, because he was dating her.
He was. You got to give the guy credit. He was smart.
Oh no, he's not dumb. He's not dumb. He's not dumb, but he is straight up a pedophile.
But he was smart.
Oh yeah. Well, he's that way. I mean, he kept me snowed. I mean, I didn't have any idea that he was what he was. I was with him for 13 years, and you can think what I thought whenever I finally found out that he really, I didn't know, I had a good idea that he did something, but I thought it was more along the line of abuse, not sexual abuse, you know, and then the last time they had let him visit the kids, you know, have them, because we were sharing, we were doing equal parity, even after he abused me, I thought, well, you know, it's not going to hurt the kids with being at his family's house or being next door with my mom. You know, and he did, you know. So he said, that's when it happened the second time. And then he abused my daughter in his own grandmother's house. they got my daughter, whenever Jackie and his dad, Larry, his name is also Larry, said they take them. They had my daughter on the big gun. On a plane within 2 days. I had never seen them work in that case doing anything ever that fast. And when Jackie took her off the plane, she took her straight to the hospital. They confirmed that she had been molested, but her hymen had not been broken. But her little private area was really, really messed up. And Jackie told the Texas CPS that this baby's been mutilated. I've got papers at the hospital here proving that I took her straight to the hospital, and that her daddy did it, and that she was also molested in foster care. And I said that, you know, whenever I saw her, the last time I saw her, she had bruises on her hands, and she was with a foster care family by the name of Escobel in Pearsall, Texas, which from the last time I heard, is still fostering kids. I did have a drug problem after I found, whenever Jackie got the kids, for a while, tried to kill myself because I didn't do anything to keep my child safe because I didn't have my child. And that was the most defenseless, most horrible feeling that you ever feel in your life. It's no matter who, I couldn't be there because they wouldn't let me be there. I couldn't protect them. And then whenever, you know, we broke up and he didn't, I had no idea that he was that kind of person up until that, you know, I caught him doing that one thing I told you I caught him doing. And then that's within a week, I broke up with him and was gone. Within a week of that, and the gun pulling him putting the gun to my head. And CPS was still letting him have supervised visitation, and the unsupervised wasn't even on the record because he was seeing Patty go strike. But that's just, you know, it's hard to sit down and remember all the caseworkers. I've been trying to write them down and everything. I remember most of them. I do not remember when they first got me and started talking to me. They interrogated me, CS room, for probably 2 hours, asking me who all my prior boyfriends were. What was I, you know, this and that. And I had no idea whenever they do the, you know, whenever they do psychological evaluation, that, you know, they're going to twist everything I said 10 different ways to work against me, you know. So I was trying to be honest. You know, at first I was naive, and I tried to be honest with them, you know. And they you know, I was naive and stupid.
Who are you talking about? You're not talking about them. What are you talking about? You must be crazy, woman.
Hey, Randall, let me call you right back. What? I got a phone call. Okay?
All right.
I even replied to Katie. That should be the report. That clearly shows Thank you.